Verse 13, Matthew 3:13. It says this, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Here's the verse. "And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And here's a statement that kind of started ringing in my head. If God the Father was looking down today, could he say the same about the body of Christ? And so we're going to answer that question. The one thing that I'm going to let you into my mind for a minute, and that's kind of scary, but when your son or daughter, you have a son or daughter or a brother or sister, and mostly a parent that would look at a son or a daughter when they're doing maybe a musical recital, or maybe they're playing baseball, and as we've watched our grandkids, and you go, yeah, yeah, you know, and you say, that's my boy, when he's doing something right. Isn't that correct? And when he's doing something wrong, you elbow your wife and say, look what your son did. But that's the idea. When God the Father looks down and he saw Jesus Christ at the baptism, Matthew chapter 3, he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's showing him off. He's announcing him. He announces a few things there. He says, this is my Son, which means he's God. And he's beloved, and that means dearly loved, as close a definition as I can get out of that. And then he says, I am well pleased. So there's some things there that Jesus Christ fit with God the Father looked down. He approved of Jesus Christ, and he announced him to the world at his baptism. Also, I mean, at his birth, too, there was an announcement there. But here is the one I wanted to pick up on. The Matthew chapter 4, as soon as God does something, who does something against it? Yeah. Chapter 4, verse 3, and it says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's not the verse that I want. Oh, 4:3. Yes, thank you. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Well, wait a minute. Didn't God the Father just yell out of heaven, say, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased? And what does Satan do right away? He says, if thou be the Son of God. He casts doubt on the word of God already. And so he's trying to shake Jesus Christ, and he can't do that. The Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. 12:18, another announcement coming out of heaven. And it says, in verse 18, he says, "Behold my servant." This is a fulfillment of a prophecy out of the book, out of Isaiah's prophecy. It says, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." I got caught up in all the pronouns there. All the words that pertain to God the Father, God the Son. And if you do that, you'll find out there's my servant. Who is my servant spoken of there? When it says, there's a voice from heaven saying, my servant, that would be Jesus Christ. And he says, I, that's God the Father. And he says, my beloved, who is that? Would be Jesus Christ again, God the Son. And then he says, my soul, and then my spirit, God the Holy Spirit. There is the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus Christ here. And as we go through, we'll find out a lot about the similarities between Jesus Christ's pronunciation here and the similarities with us in the body of Christ. Matthew chapter 17, another pronunciation from heaven. This is on the Mount Transfiguration, Matthew 17, verse 5. I'll go up to verse 4. It says, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So he adds a little thing there. He adds a command to listen to him. And I found this interesting. Look up to verse 4. It says, "Then answered Peter." So we know who's talking here, right? Peter's the one who's being quoted by who? Who's writing the book? Is Matthew. Matthew is writing something that Peter quotes. And he says in verse 5, Peter's quoting what the voice he heard out of the cloud. "Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son," that would be God the Father, "in whom I am well pleased, hear him." So we have what? Matthew's writing something down about what Peter quoted, about what he heard God say, God the Father say, and he says, "Listen to my son." All this information here. Is it good to listen to Peter's words here in Scripture? Sure. Good to hear Matthew's words? Sure. Good to hear God the Father when he speaks? You betcha. But when he says, "My son speaks," you listen to him. I've approved him. I'm pleased with him. And let's build on that. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Again, here, put yourself back there. And if we walked out into the parking lot out here, the clouds part, and you hear this magnificent voice and said, "This is my book." You know what? Even without the internet, do you think that news would travel? Do you think people would hear that, "Oh, there's a guy named Jesus over here, that the clouds opened up, someone said, This is my beloved son"? Well, he's God, he's deity. Do you think that would go from town to town? Matthew 21 and verse 15. "And when the chief priests and the scribes and the wonderful thing... saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased." Wait a minute. Didn't the voice out of heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased"? But the religious and the non-believers and the people who wanted to have the show in the flesh, they wanted the long robes in the marketplace and all these other things, they were sore displeased. What God was pleased with, they were displeased with, because it what? Took glory away from themselves. God wants the glory. Give him the glory. But he said, look at verse 10. This verse is always with me. "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" Well, didn't heaven ring out three times already saying, "This is my beloved Son"? Do you think they would have got it by now? But no, but they were either willfully ignorant or they wanted to have the glory of their own. They wanted to have that religious place where people would look at them. That's something called pride, self-righteousness. But we're not that way, are we? But I wondered, does the world say that about the body of Christ when we're out there, when we walk and talk in our businesses, and they say, do they say, "Who is this"? I understand this is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and everything that we're looking at in the book of Matthew is something called the law. And if we can proceed to look at that a little bit later. But what you've heard the phrase, similar to but not the same as, okay? I'm confused too. But if there's a principle that runs through Scripture and a principle that runs through Scripture, but the basic doctrine can change, okay? This is what's happening with the body of Christ. I wanted to know, since I read that verse, my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, is God pleased with me? Was one thing that went through my head. That's what spawned this study. And so if I'm one person in the body of Christ and we are collective in the body of Christ, is he pleased with us? And so we'll answer the question. When the world looks at the body of Christ, do they say, who is this? Question. Was God the Father ever displeased with his Son? Answer? No. Okay, keep that in your mind as we go through. John chapter 8, please. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chapter 8. The Father commanded to say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And so if we're supposed to hear him, the teachings that he taught, let us be careful as we go through, but let's look at a principle. John 8:26. Christ speaking, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake of the Father. Spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And here's a verse to remember. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Can God the Father ever be displeased with the Son back while he walked here on earth? And then we'll answer this one in a little bit. Can he ever be displeased with the body of Christ? How do we please the Father? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Christ said he always speaks those things that he heard of the Father. And in 1 Timothy 6, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. We are to be teaching those words, but if you don't teach those words, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about, and you can read the rest of that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. To teach what Jesus Christ taught here on earth would be teaching what? We would be teaching the law and prophecy, the gospel of the kingdom. But over here, if we want to please the Father today, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want to please my Father. And if I do, I need to be teaching this, the words of Christ, from words of Christ from Paul to the Scriptures to me. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Pass it on. Learn it, pass it on. Learn it, pass it on. And so that's how God wants to promote his word, but we please the Father by doing that, by passing on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Hebrews 11. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. If I want to please my Father, what do I use? Well, wrong one. Please. The Father, I need to have faith. How else can we know Him? How else can we be saved? How else can we understand the Scriptures without faith in His Word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Is God pleased with the body of Christ? Hebrews 13:16, I found it interesting. One of those principles that's transdispensational. It says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. To do good and communicate. In Ephesians 2:10, anyone quote that one? Come on, Barb. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. To do good and communicate, God is well pleased. What else do we do with communicating but preaching the word? Paul says it in Ephesians 6. I love Ephesians. And he says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therewith I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So to do good and communicate, God is well pleased. Is the body of Christ promoting the right words, pleasing Him, and actually doing what He said? We're not under the law. We're doing something out of love, out of gratitude for what He's done for us. He puts His Spirit and motivates us. We'll see a verse. Yep. We got an hour yet. As the body of Christ, we are beloved sons. That's not a question. That doesn't matter if you've gone into the world or what you're teaching. And I'll explain that. You are a beloved son of God. Adopted son. You don't become God. We're not little gods. Do we look and sound pleasing to God? Or do we look like the world of the unsaved? As soon as a person believes the gospel, Christ died for our sins, what happens to that person? He's saved. Filled with the Spirit. Where is his? Is he placed into the body of Christ? All right, so he is the body of Christ here on earth today. Christ Himself is in glory right now. We are His representatives. We're called ambassadors, but even much more than that, we're called a son. Galatians chapter 4. Why don't you turn there, please? Galatians chapter 4. I'll read to you something from 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. And so we are already beloved sons. Galatians 4:4, verse we use at Christmas time. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. God sent forth His Son. He's announcing Him again in the book of Galatians. Made of a woman, made under the law, not under grace, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that's the Jew, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see the difference? They and we, that's different. The Jews and we are under grace. We can receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, he's talking to the Galatian people who had left grace. They started to question law and grace, and he says, you guys are sons. And before we saw that they were beloved, the brethren are beloved. And God has sent forth, in verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The dearest form of calling Daddy. And that's what's in our hearts. The Spirit of God that created the universe, that gives life to the dead, resurrection power is the same Spirit that dwells in us. It is not a lesser Christ. It is not a lesser God that lives in us. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What an important position we have on this planet. If God is announcing who Jesus Christ is, He's doing it through us. He's not doing it through the world. He's not doing it through religion. He's not doing it through meditation. He's doing it through the body of Christ, the believers today. And that's what the responsibility we have to honor His word, to honor Him, to glorify Him. First Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ." It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, have been made all to drink into one Spirit." But it says, "For the body is one." The body of Christ is one, and we're not the body. In 1 Corinthians, it starts out saying, Paul kind of reprimands the Corinthians. Not reprimands, he slams them. "Is Christ divided?" he says. What happens when a country is divided? It can't stand. Is Christ divided? No. He's not divided. Some of the members inside start to fuss and flutter. We're going to look at that still a little bit. When part of the body wants to go one way and the body wants to go the other way, there's a problem. There's a rift in the body. And what do we do there? And what does Christ do about it? It says there in Ephesians 1:6. Turn to Ephesians, please. Chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. We could actually just read the whole chapter, but it says there, "To the praise..." No, let me get there. Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Let's start in verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." All right. We're accepted, or this is a test. We're accepted in the Beloved. We already said, this is the Beloved here, right? Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We are accepted in who He is, the fullness of God. We are accepted in Him who can do no wrong, who has eternal life. We're accepted in Him. In the Beloved. Are we His beloved sons? We're in His beloved. Yes. Verse 12, it says that we, the body of Christ, should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. We should be to the praise of His glory instead of doting about, worrying about the law and doing traditions of men. We should be in sound doctrine, teaching exactly what the Apostle Paul tells us to teach because of Jesus Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And we should be doing that and giving praise to Him. Look at my body down there, what they're doing. Aren't they doing a fine job? I wish that he could say that to the entire body of Christ. We know that people out there that have fallen from grace, not fallen from grace, but turned away from grace, right? Teaching fables and doctrines of devils and all that other stuff we've been learning in 1 Timothy. Wonderful, the book to learn from. But we need to hold our ground. We need to stand true. And if this assembly is the only assembly in the world that's holding the sound doctrine, let's stand for it. And don't care what the people out there are saying. And today, in today's day and age, I don't really care what much people think. I know what I stand for. And that's what we have to do. We have to stand for truth. And I know where I find truth. And this is an absolute King James Bible, completely free of error. And this is the one I stand on. And I study it. I don't just stand on it. I study it and learn it and put it in my heart and hope that someone else gets contagious and starts to learn it from us, you know? And did I say contagious? I'm sorry. Well, scratch that from the memo. It says in Ephesians 1:22, it says, "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." We're everything. We have everything. We have inheritance with Christ. Everything that Christ has, we have. Not will have. We have. We have it already. We just haven't got there yet. Where's Bill? Bill, we haven't taken possession of the property yet, right? Or Christ hasn't taken possession of us yet. Yeah, but he's given us a down payment, right? The Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians chapter 1:13. Verse 23, "Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." It's all Jesus Christ from start to finish. Scripture, start to finish, it's Jesus Christ. And you are complete in him. Colossians says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Everything we saw here is Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. He says, everything that the Father tells me, I do. And he says, the Father is in me. All the verses, they're in here. But he has all the complete God, the Godhead in one, Jesus Christ. And he gives that right to us. As adopted sons, he says, you are filled with all the fullness of God. Sometimes we study and we don't think. I'm pointing here. Or the word is meditate. I carefully use that word. But we sit and think, what does that really mean? I'm filled with all the fullness of God. What can't God do? God can't sin, right? Can he do anything he wants to? He can do anything that he said he was going to do and hold to it because he's not a liar. You are complete in him. Ephesians 4:16. I think the book of Ephesians is telling us a little bit about the body of Christ. It says, I better back up a little bit. Verse 14, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." We need to hold the sound doctrine. Verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Not under fear of the law, of not doing the law, but we edify one another in love. How can I help you? What do you need? What shall I pray for? How do we edify one another? We go through the scriptures. We sit down over coffee or whatever it is, and we talk, and or we sing songs or whatever it is. We edify one another in that fashion. But it's the focus is on the body of Christ. It says it edifies, increase of the body, edifying of self in love. When Jesus Christ came to earth in his earlier days, it says he grew in favor with God and men. You'll find that phrase in the Gospels there. I forget exactly where, but he grew in favor with God and men. And so, in other words, he increased his knowledge. He increased his understanding and his favor. Ephesians 5:27. I'm going to back up. 525, the marriage verses. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Is there blemish in the body of Christ? Does Christ clean it up? He has a maintenance program, and he keeps it clean. And he's our advocate, he's our intercessor, and his blood cleansed us from all sins. But he says that in 1 Corinthians it talks about if your works burn wood, hay, and stubble, that's not something that God wants to go through eternity. He wants gold, silver, precious stones, sound doctrine on the right side over there with the body of Christ. He wants that. He'll burn everything up and say, see you later, with our old works, and that's fine with me. Anything that I did wrong in my lifetime that does not belong in eternity, burn it, please. But he wants his body to what? He wants his body to look, shine, and it will. Because he always pleases the Father. And we're in Christ. We're in the Beloved. What are we worried about? What a great place to be. A safety in the arms of Christ. Ephesians 5:30, it says, for we are members of his body. And this gets personal. Of his flesh and of his bones. There's an old, I don't know how old it is or outdated, you've heard WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, I thought of that. I added some letters to it. WWJDAC, what would Jesus do according to grace? If Jesus Christ physically was here today, what would he do? Would he follow the law? Would he need to do miracles? Would he be teaching what he taught Paul? Yeah. He is here today in the body of Christ. We are his bones and of his flesh. We are his body, and we are here his representatives. And how else will the world know hope and peace, all the disaster? What if I was unsaved, I'd look at that, I'd just dig a hole and crawl in somewhere. Hope is in Jesus Christ. And we are that hope to the world. They're not going to pick up a Bible. I talked with someone the other day, and we were talking about music, and he said, I never listened to gospel music. No, not a bit. Well, maybe you should. But it's up to me or you to promote this. Whether it's gospel music, the word of Christ, something to get into their mind that cuts through that darkness. Philippians. I think we'll close up there. Philippians chapter 2. in verse 12, it says, Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved," we're the beloved, "as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Fear and trembling. And I've learned this verse a long time ago, not to try to work out someone else's salvation. You're going to get your foot stuck in the mud. Don't do that. Work out your own salvation. Be concerned with yourself. Then go help another. With fear and trembling. Why? "For it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It's His good pleasure to work in the body of Christ today. And so we're to do things without murmuring and disputing. Verse 14, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." He didn't say you might shine as lights in the world. He says you do shine as lights in the world. I have to study that one out a little bit further. I remember that Sunday school song, "You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Oh, come on. It says, I'll conclude. God announces His Son today in the dispensation of grace by the body of Christ. We already saw that. We're announcing Christ and His love. And it's how important our position is. You think about it. You're filled with the fullness of God, the power of Christ in you, resurrection power living in you. Then what do we do? And then we do something collectively, not only individually. The Father can never be displeased with His Son, and the Son can never be displeased with Himself. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let's pray. Father, thank you for such a position. We stand in awe regarding how powerful you are and how loving you are and who we are, and yet you loved us enough to put our sins on Jesus Christ, that He might take them to the cross upon Him and shed His blood for our sins. It says, "In whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Father, that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, this is our prayer. Amen.